and welcome to the Daily Briefing, March the 5th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us this day that we might continue our study. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us day by day, and as we look at the events of the day, we ask that you would continue to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the recent past, we have been looking at the relationship between the Russian government and Russian intelligence and the team that put together the election for the President of the United States of America in 2016. Just recently, we received a report from the president who's claiming that his phones in his Trump Tower residence had been wiretapped. Of course, that was not accompanied by any evidence regarding this. We'd just like to let you know that if that were the case, then it would have meant that the intelligence individuals in this country would have had to go to the FISA courts, that's a secret court, to get that kind of permission to do the kind of act that has been described. As of yet, we have not gotten any more information. We don't know whether we will get that information, but it would mean that if the intelligence society went to the FISA courts to get that kind of information or to get that permission to do that, it would mean that they would have had some what is described as probable cause to do that. Of course, all we have so far is the accusation. We can't say yes or no concerning that, and we will keep posted to see how this plays out, how it develops. However, with regard to the Russian connection, we've been looking at some of the articles that occurred last year that spoke to this matter. The first one that we could look at would be an article published on November the 10th, 2016, by the CBS News. It's entitled Russia, There Were Contacts with Donald Trump's Campaign Before Election. That's November the 10th, 2016. Let me read a few paragraphs here. The first paragraph says, a top Russian diplomat and Vladimir Putin's spokesman said Thursday that Russian experts were in contact with some members of President-elect Donald Trump's staff during the presidential campaign, a period in which the United States accused Russia of hacking into Democratic Party email systems. A spokeswoman for Trump denied the assertion, but it raised the ongoing suspicion about the president-elect's relationship with Putin's government that had dogged his campaign with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Russia is hopeful that a Trump presidency will herald improved relations with the United States. But in a sign of the cold realism that Putin is known for, Moscow is not betting on an immediate drastic turnaround in the strained relationship. And while Trump himself has said he wants to be friends with Russia and join forces in the fight against terrorism, he has outlined few specifics as to how he would go about it. President Obama began his presidency with a similar goal, only to see progress unravel over the conflicts in Ukraine and Syria. Now, we're reading here from an article published on CBS News website, November the 10th, 2016. The name of the article is Russia, There Were Contacts with Donald Trump's Campaign Before Election. Now, continuing a few more paragraphs, it says here, Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told the Associated Press in an interview in the New York that Russia experts had contacts with people in both the Trump and Clinton campaigns. He said, such contacts are quite natural, quite normal. And our experts, our specialists on the U.S. on international affairs, of course, they are constantly speaking to their counterparts here, including those from Mr. Trump's group, Peskov said. Of course, the entire article gives quite an open statement from the Russian representatives concerning this. They seem to have no problem making this point at all. Further down in the article, it says the following. It says, The U.S. government believes Putin might have interfered in the presidential election. The intelligence community has concluded that Russia was responsible for hacking into the emails of the Democratic National Committee and Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta and gave them to WikiLeaks, which released them. Some embarrassed and damaged the Clinton campaign. Of course, the article is quite explicit where this is concerned. So on one hand, you have the Russian representative saying, oh yes, we have been in contact with these individuals. And on the other hand, you have the Trump representatives saying they have not had any such contact whatsoever. One of the articles one of the paragraphs in that article says, Putin would be pleased if the U.S. dropped the sanctions imposed for Russia's annexation of Crimea and its involvement in the continuing war in eastern Ukraine. That could appeal to Trump's sense that he is the master of the deal. So that's one article. Let me just tell you the name of the article again. It's CBS News, and it was published November the 10th, 2016. The name of the article is Russia, : there were contacts with Donald Trump's campaign before the election. Now, there's another article we can look at in this regard. It's found in the Washington Post, published the same day, November the 10th, 2016. The topic, Moscow had contacts with Trump team during campaign, Russian diplomat says. And of course, it goes ahead and quotes the diplomat. It says here in the first paragraph, Russian government officials conferred with members of Donald Trump's campaign team, a senior Russian diplomat said Thursday, a disclosure that could reopen scrutiny of the Kremlin's role in the president-elect's bitter race with Hillary Clinton. Now, it's mentioning another Russian official. The statement came from Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov, who said in an interview that the state-run Interfax news agency that there were contacts with the Trump team. Obviously, we know most of the people from his entourage, Ryabkov said. We have just begun to consider ways of building dialogue with the future Donald Trump administration and channels we will be using for those purposes. That's one of the statements that he made. So on the one hand, you have the Russians, they are very proud of the fact, and this is back on November the 10th, that they had made contact and they were building a relationship. On the other hand, you have the president and his individuals stating emphatically that they had absolutely nothing to do with the Russians. Ryabkov provided no further details, and his remarks drew a swift denial from Trump spokeswoman Hope Hicks, who said the campaign had no contact with Russian officials before the Tuesday election. Again, further down in the same article, it says, speaking to Bloomberg News, Russian Foreign Minister spokesman Mario Zakharov said staffers at the Russian embassy in Washington met with members of Trump's campaign. Meetings she described as normal practice. Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton's campaign refused similar requests for meeting. That's Zakharov told the agency. Now, that second article that I'm reading from is the Washington Post, published November the 10th, and the topic is Moscow had the contacts with Trump's team during campaign, Russian diplomat says. So that's two articles that we have that are heading off in the same direction. Perhaps we could take a look at one more. This one is from the New York Times, also on November the 10th. They all came with the same news, same day. Russian officials were in contact with Trump allies, diplomat says. And of course, it simply repeats some of the elements that were found in the other articles above that. Now, why this is so intriguing here, going back to November the 10th, is because beyond that, all of this information and all of this debate is still continuing with regard to Mr. Flynn and regard to Mr. Sessions and his recusing himself. The argument is still going on that on the one hand, there are people who are saying, well, we didn't have anything to do with this. What is most concerning about it is that it is pretty obvious that this is going to lead beyond this. I'm sure that the administration and those who are in support of the administration and working with them would love for this to go to sleep. But basically, it looks like if this is going to remain awake for quite a while, the BBC just yesterday, March the 4th, 2017, published what I opened up the session today talking about. It says, Trump wiretapping claims simply false, Obama spokesman says. So the president has claimed that his home was wiretapped, and apparently Obama's spokesman has come out and said that those charges are simply false. One of the things that we need to perhaps look at is that back in, I think it was 1978 or a little bit beyond that, there was this FISA court that came into existence, and they really got its start more seriously during the 9/11, after the 9/11 events. What you probably already know is that most of our communications are recorded. When you hear someone say that there's nobody listening to your phone calls or listening to the things that you're saying, that is true because there is no human being sitting with headphones on listening to you speak. What is actually happening is that the technology, the computer systems, the Cray computer systems, are able to download and keep billions of phone calls all at the same time. It's only when they need to go back and take a look at a conversation that they're able to bring it up, print out a transcript, or literally listen to it in real time. So when someone, and this is one of the reasons why many people were asking if these gentlemen, if a man like Flynn, General Flynn, would know that or should know that because of his position in the military, why would he have certain kinds of conversations with people who, you know, who are from Russia about what is happening in the election or anything else like that? Quite often, we forget, and it's not always the case that because you carry a particular office that you will remember always not to lose your thought process and say something or do something in the heat of a moment that you might regret. But this also applies to the claim of being wiretapped in Trump Tower, because it's not something that a president or one person can call up and have someone do. When Nixon pulled that stunt during his presidency, one of the reasons why they got caught is because men actually broke in to this place to set up the situation. There is no need for that in this technological age in which we live. But if you're going to do that and you're going to tap into somebody's lines, then there are the overriding organizations like the National Security Agency or the CIA who will be able to track you down. So, and also, if you're going to do that at all, and you're going to do it legally, you'll have to go through the FISA courts. So If that is true, and there were some sort of listening going on in the tower, in the private residence of the president, it would mean that somebody probably came up with the idea that there was probable cause, which could possibly lead to even more discussion on the matter to see exactly where that leads. But either way, it is the sort of troubling situation, these kinds of troubling situations, where you are never going to get a report from the FBI or from anybody else. Usually, these kind of things do not go away. They just simmer and simmer and simmer. You can see how something like this can only expand and become even more viral as time proceeds. We are indeed in a very difficult time. Pretty much you would think that by now we would be settling down and the agenda for the new administration would have been taking off. There are many things to debate in the program that they have, but notice how difficult it is to get to that because there are so many other things at play. For instance, one of the things that we're waiting to hear about is the executive order that replaces the one having to do with people coming into the country, how it's going to affect those who are here, how it will affect anyone for that matter. But there are so many other little issues that keep rising. You hear the people calling it smoke. They're looking for the fire. Well, it's going to be quite a thing. And if you're going to have these kinds of things happening all the time, it will mean that there's going to be a certain blowback because you're not going to be able to run with your agenda. It will be unfortunate if that happens because it is the kind of time that so many have been hoping for with a Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican White House, and for that matter, they have gotten the opportunity to choose the ninth Supreme Court justice. So if the agenda itself is stymied because of all of these small issues that keep rising. When I say small, I don't mean that they're insignificant, but I mean that they're not a part of the production line. Then we will never actually get to the issues that need to be discussed and decisions need to be made. We can see where that will lead if we if this extends itself a year from now. We will see how this would really be a damper on so many things. But of course, the confusion and the shift in what is happening in the country is pretty much a fulfillment of everything that God has told us will happen. And we need to be prepared for the elements that will be at play. There are a number of issues that are hidden at the moment that are not really seen as clearly. Like we said before, there are so many nations in Europe who are preparing for war. Then you've got the rising market at a tremendous pace. And if you've been around this country any length of time, you know that there has been a rise in the market for a while. There usually is a falling off at some point. So you've got the economic situation, you've got the military uncertainty, you've got the political tensions, and of course, there is always the religious issues involved. We can see where we're heading. We need to understand where we are and who we are so that we might stand for truth and be the kind of witnesses that we need to be at all times. We thank you, Father, that you've given us an opportunity to see the world as it is. We recognize that we are living in very serious times. We ask that you would help us with the calm assurance that only comes from you, that we will follow you patiently, that we will recognize what you want us to be and what you want us to do, so that we will be a positive example to those who are around us, especially our children, as we prepare for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, March the 5th, 2017.